Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-yo, mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo, mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo, mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo, mm-hmm.
I've been walking,
mm-hmm.
Ooh-ay-yo, with my face turned
mm-hmm.
to
Ooh-ay-yo, mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo, mm-hmm.
Weight on my shoulder.
Back of my head, just in case I have to run. Do what I can when I can while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night,
that's why I wanna
stand up,
take my people with me. Together we are
going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to answer?
Gonna keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones,
and I know. Ooh. What's around the bend might be hard. Ooh. To face, 'cause I'm alone.
How you doing today? Hello?
Hello. Hey.
Hi. Who is this?
This TV, Waheed.
Hi. How you doing? I apologize. We're having technical difficulties. The microphone messing up today. So I had to change out, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. Like I said, I apologize. Welcome to the show today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. Like I said, I apologize. And who are you again? I ain't got some
TV
Wahid later.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Have I spoken with you before?
Yeah, you're a friend of mine, and you've been on my show before, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know who I called you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, sis, how you doing? Look, I couldn't get your voice because I'm so you know, discombobulated because the show, you know, messing up today. I said, now, all days, I'm trying to get on the show. Mic not working.
I tried to get in earlier. I tried to call in earlier, and it wouldn't let me, get in. So I said, well, I'll try back in a minute.
Well, I so appreciate it. How you been doing? Girl,
I've been fine. Yeah, I hear just looking at this stuff transpire and, you know, staying in the fight, not giving up, and you know, just sharing knowledge and you know, planting seeds.
Most definitely, that's what we have to do, sis. We
keep doing that. Dang. Let me know if somebody else call me and unmute them. I said, that's what we have to do. My thing is, like, I have been doing a lot, you know, trying to rebrand the show and different things like that, trying to, you know, bring in income, you know what I'm saying? So then you're trying to bring in income, but I'm not finna subscribe to this system, I'm sorry. But I'm going to do what I have to do to take care of my baby. So that's why I was like today, I wanted to have an open mic for our guests to come in so we could just talk for real, you know what I'm saying? Because I was I was so happy what happened in Tulsa, and they had a unity rally, a community rally in Baltimore this past weekend, and I was so impressed with what they did. But then I found out that Biden was at the Tulsa thing.
He was what?
Did you know that? Biden.
The what?
He was at the Tulsa rally. He was in one of those churches, and he spoke to the black people talking about Tulsa.
What was he saying?
You know, he was talking about how it was such a tragedy, this, that, and the other, but he was not talking about reparations and talking about how we need to find, we need to find their bones and make sure that they're giving back to their relatives. What? We don't need our relatives' bones. We want reparations.
You know what's wrong with our people? This is what I think. We didn't get, some of us done got so complacent. Even in the midst of the turmoil and the tragedies that happen every day with us, it's like some of us are just numb to it. So numb to it that you have to be to sit around and listen to this type of rhetoric. Because, you know, there's nowhere in the world we should be satisfied with this type of these visits and these apologies and this. I mean, come on. I mean, what's it gonna take? I mean, you know how when somebody get your arm is numb, you can't feel nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's almost like that. Like you just turn a blind eye to reality. You know, it's like I just can't understand. It's like I run out of words. I wind up with none because I do. I just don't know.
And look, I honestly understand where you're coming from because you lose your words. You lose your, you be like, you be so dumbfounded. You be like, am I the crazy one? Am I the one that's crazy? But I know I'm not crazy because I know that these people don't have no love or care for us. My only thing is, I also understand and understand that my people have been traumatized, right? So during my thing is, we sick. We have to heal. And you know, like most of our women, you know, we invest in our healing, like we, you know, go to retreats and different things like that. We invest in the, you know, do the spiritual baths. We do, you know, the things like that, right? Most of our men don't do that. So if they're walking in an unhealed space, because I've been noticing a lot of the ladies that I've been, you know, generating to, you know, with trying to heal and different things like that, if they do have mates in their lives, it's a conflict, you know what I'm saying? Because the woman is healing, but he's not. And we all have to heal because we have all experienced and suffered from intergenerational trauma being a black person on this planet, right? So if the women are healing, the men need to heal as well. Some men feel like it's pointless. Some women feel like that. But we have to focus on a path of healing in order to shed this stuff that these people have put, like the poisons and different things like that. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to ask, like with the different things that are going on with our children and stuff now, because
I didn't even realize that they had lifted the mask requirements, right? And had let the, had sent our babies back into these schools. What is your thoughts on that? Have they sent your children back to school where you are?
Well, they are, some of them are still online. A lot of them are. Most of the classes online, we only have about, I'll say, anywhere between 1 to 12 being the largest class size. I mean, so if that doesn't tell people something, I don't know what is, because there's a large majority of the parents who have opted to keep their children at home. But the ones that sent them back, for whatever reason, I don't know why you would do that. I mean, I've heard different some of those kids say, "Well, I couldn't do it at home because I won't get on the computer, or I'll go back to sleep, or I need the help. I need to be taught. I need to be in the classroom." You know, like, well, where are your parents? Okay, well, I understand that some parents have to work these jobs that's not paying them nothing, and see, that's a problem too. That was a plan. That's part of the plan too. You take the parent, the mother or the father, out of the home, and you have them working in this job maybe about 20 hours a week, paying a minimum wage. You might as well stay at home and collect. I'm sorry, you might as well just stay at home and rear your kids and keep them out from being a juvenile delinquent. Stay home and raise your children, you know what I'm saying, and just get the food stamps or whatever you can get until the kid get graduated or whatever, because this stuff is worth, unless you're going for a college education, you know, but something, some vocational school to get some type of skill to take care of your family, because a lot of times these jobs are just not worth it. I've seen so many things happen where a mother went to take a job and she had to leave the kid with somebody that she thought she knew. He gets a hold of a gun, and, you know, the rest is history. So I just, for me, I just don't feel like it's worth it. And they haven't really lifted the ban for the mask where I'm at. It's like the way I think it is like, you know, they're saying that they're going to let them, some of the people who have been vaccinated, not wear the mask. But it's like, it almost feels like they're pitting us against each other, you know, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. But they already know what's up, because they already know that these people are going to give off whatever gases that they have inside of themselves because of this vaccination that they've taken. So they can actually make the people who didn't take this thing sick. You see what I'm saying? So it's like we have to pay attention to this this sly, clever, you know.
Exactly.
I don't want
nothing
past nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know,
exactly.
You really have to pay attention. And a lot of our people aren't paying attention. You know, they just think, oh, I don't know.
They believe their enemy. Because I'm going to tell you this. Did you know that since the they started giving out those vaccinations, right, that women, I mean, you don't even have to be in ahead of the vaccination, but if you are near a woman that has had it, they experience problems. And I'm talking about vaginal, you know, problems. So I did not understand that. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, what you're saying, he is absolutely correct.
Yeah, we hear something new every day. I mean, it's like, I don't know what part of this that they're not paying no attention to. I'm talking about, I met a guy the other day. I was actually, you know, doing some things, you know, some errands that I had to do. And I happened to have to stop at, you know, the laundry. And a man walked in, a white man and his wife. And I noticed that she wasn't wearing a mask, but he was. And I don't know if you've ever been compelled to ask somebody a question or something, but I was compelled. I could not ask this man this question. And I just said, "Excuse me." I said, "Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you something?" And he said, "Sure." He turned right around. I said, "Did you take the shot?" And he said, "No, I'm not taking the shot." And he went on to tell me why. He went on to talk about the blood clots that's been happening to people in their brains and in different parts of their bodies. He talked about how it's going to change the DNA of people. He talked about, he went in on all of it, and he said that I've been everywhere just about. He said, and sometimes I have forgotten the mask and I haven't gotten sick. And he said, so I must have a bunch of antibodies or something built up. And but he said, I do wear it. He said it's just been a couple of times that he had forgotten to wear it, but he said he always wears it. I said, well, I just wanted to ask you. I said, because I saw several people come in here and they didn't have it on, and the sign is literally on the door, and it says it's the law to wear it, and they just walk in without it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, he told me everything that he knew about it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what part of it that people don't understand? You know?
Exactly.
I just don't understand.
Exactly.
Even he
yes,
knew.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the information is out there. I want to again welcome everybody to the show. Thank you all for calling in. I'm going to unmute your mic if you want to speak. Just let us know, because I want to unmute everybody's mic and let everybody introduce themselves. We're going to start with 347. We're going to unmute your mic so you can introduce yourself and let us know who you are. Like I said, we had technical difficulties starting the show, so I was a little discombobulated, but thank you all for joining us. So I'm about to unmute mic 347. Introduce yourself and welcome to the show.
Black Power, I don't know if that was me or somebody else.
Yes, how you doing? What'd you say now?
I don't know if you were saying me or somebody else. I heard you say 347.
Yes,
through
area code 347. How you doing today?
I'm good. Black Power, Nubian Patel, how's everybody?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good. I got a couple more people dialing in. I don't know if they dialed in already. I'm well. Everything's
okay.
Well. I'm doing some other things, so I'm just trying to listen and see what the flow is.
Okay, you just want to listen in too and listen in. Okay, we're gonna unmute
the
next caller.
You know, if I got a question, I will ask. I am not afraid or ashamed to ask questions.
Most definitely. We're gonna unmute the mic for 840, and we're gonna welcome them into the show. How you doing today? Peace and power. Welcome to the show. Like I said, we've been experiencing a little technical difficulties, so we're trying to get this together today, but we are here and we do want to have this conversation. So welcome to the show, and who are you today? Oh, area code 980. I apologize. How you doing today? You can go ahead and introduce yourself. Or if you don't want to speak, you don't have to say anything. We'll just mute you back and we'll continue our conversation. But welcome to the show and thank you for listening in, okay? All right, sis. So we're going to get back to the show. Like I said, I want to welcome everybody. I apologize for these difficulties because I pay for this show every month. And I'm hot that they did not have my mic on when I first came on. But like I said, we are here. We are here to, you know, have these discussions. Like I said, I'm going to ask you this, right? I have been watching this political thing, right, with these people and these politicians. How do you look at us getting political power? Because I don't believe in their system. I'm not going to ever believe in their system, this capitalistic things that's going on and different things. But a lot of our people keep saying if we get political power, we're going to, you know, we're going to be able to move and advance forward. I don't see that. So
not in this,
can you
not within the system that we're in, but our people did it before, but amongst themselves. So I think that we need to do it for ourselves, not within this system. I just don't see it. Within that, you know, I mean, only way that I could see any possibilities is if we could get ourselves back on track as far as, like, the Black Wall Street, you know, how our people did it. And I'm sure they had, you know, their own system locally. That's the only way I can see it is if we do it for ourselves. We have to do it for ourselves. We've tried all this stuff. We've marched, we've sang, we've prayed. You know, now it's time to take back what the devil done stole from you. Now, if that's what they're talking about in the church, then that's what you know, I can get with that. I'm going to take everything that the devil stole from me. And it's time that
exactly.
We do it.
Yes, yes. And that's what I say as well, because just like with some of the townships in Georgia and Mississippi, they don't tell us about these towns where most of the Black people that run the town are, you know, the people that run the town are Black, the mayor, the police chief, and different things like that. But they are not they're not centered around the development of us. They are more brainwashed into their system. So that's what I said. We have to focus on unifying and getting back to our African roots, right? And then I understand that everybody don't think that everybody's African. I know, but I do understand that we are either indigenous or African in any way. Black.
You know,
that's what I say.
I'm so tired. You know, Dr. Renoko Rashidi, he always speaks about that in his group. He has a group. And the thing about that is that we're all of that. We're all of it. We are from the four corners of the earth. There's nowhere we haven't been, you know, up above the earth, under the earth. So, you know, they keep talking, saying, giving us these names, whether it be us doing it or whoever doing it. And I'm seeing this all the time, and it's like, you know, that is us, you know. Like you can't have a person walking around here that haven't been touched by the African, you know. So, I mean, I used to wonder, how did these Indians get so dark? And then I kept reading and kept researching, and boom, there it was, African.
Mm-hmm.
African in Japan, African in China, African everywhere. So, yeah, we're indigenous, absolutely, you know. But, you know, I happen to know that, you know, I'm proud of my African ancestry, you know. So I am the first, we're the original people. So I think people need, some people try to get away from saying it, because they've still bought that Europeanized, colonized, being ashamed of who they are. I'm not ashamed of anything. You know what I'm saying? Somebody, if you went through all this trouble to try to keep the truth away from me, what do I have to be ashamed of?
Exactly.
Our focus has to be, if you see, when we want to talk about unity, right? We keep talking about unity, but sometimes I feel like some of us don't even understand what we mean when we say unity. And I used to say, way before Facebook came into being, my dad, he was part of the Black Panthers. He was into Islam. He was into anything that had anything to do with strengthening us as a people. And he taught me everything he knew. Then when I got older, I went further into my studies. So I'm like, you know, if you want to talk about, if there's anything, I said years ago, I said this, if there's anything that we need to be monolithic about, and it's going to have to be about us, only thing we need to focus on is, like the doctor said, he said, the only thing that we need to be focusing on is unity, getting ourselves together, you know. He said that I don't care what you worship, how you worship, where you worship, when you worship. Look, if you're pro-Black, let's get it together, because we're wasting time. Malcolm X told us this. Leave your religion at the door. If you're pro-Black, let's get it. We're wasting time. They put that little ball of yarn in the middle of the floor and watch us fight over it. It's time to quit satisfying them and letting them laugh at us, what we're doing. They did it. They came together, regardless of their differences, because they came together for one thing, because of their white. The Hungarian, whether they were Polish, Italian, whatever the hell they were, as long as they were white, they came together and they monopolized on us. And look where we are. Yeah, we made strides individually, but we need to connect those dots and make strides together. Are you there? Melly?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it on mute.
You didn't hear what I said?
No, I heard what you said. I'm sitting up here talking.
Oh, okay. I said, where did she go?
Look, I'm sitting up here saying, Ashe, because me and one of my sisters were talking about this the other day, right? So she told me, she made me think about it like this, right? She said, don't compare us to those white folks, right? Because nobody on this planet has experienced what we have experienced. So we are traumatized. We are living in this poison. So, yes, because I'm going to tell you, I used to get so angry at my people, right? But I have to understand our mentality and what we have been subjected to, right? So it's coming together. Like I said, the event in Tulsa, right? How they came together. Just like you said, the one thing we have to ride on is our blackness, period. That's the only thing we can ride. So, but we got to get that healing together. That's what we got to focus on. So I want to ask you about that. How do we get that together? Because I'm talking about even down to the foods that we eat. This poison keeps our minds clogged where we cannot think straight. So how do you look at that healing aspect, and how can we get that back into the communities so that our men, women, and children can heal, so that our families can heal?
Well, one of the things I think is that, because, you know, me and my son, my daughter, we talk about this a lot too, you know, because I made sure that they were taught. I made sure that, you know. I think that we really, because the reason I say that is that they're in the school system, these schools. And we know all about, you know, what that is, okay? So if you have parents that don't know, you know, and they haven't given their children the tools to survive out in this society that we've had to survive in, which we are, you know, like you said, you know, we have these problems and these issues and we're traumatized. So but if you haven't been given the tools about your culture, okay, and what you have to be prideful of, then you don't, you have an empty toolbox. So you have no survival skills with which to deal with these people. Okay? So, you know, and then you go into the school system and you're not learning anything about yourself either. That's just, I call that horrific. So if we don't, you know, I ask people, I say, you say the children are the future. Really? Ask yourself that question over and over again. The children are the future. Are they really? I'm talking about our children. So if the children are the future, whenever you get a chance to plant a seed and teach, that's what we need to be doing. We need to, like you're doing, you already started it with your school. You know what I'm saying? We all need to find some type of way. It doesn't even have to be brick and mortar. We have to find some type of way to teach these children about their history, because it's like, you know, you can learn about everything else in the school system, it seems like, and I know you've been following that. You can learn about everything else in the school system, but you can't learn about Black history. I mean, what is up with that? You know what I'm saying? If something is just like not, you know, I already know something ain't right. I'm just saying that the question is just to figure of speech. You know, what's up with that? You know, we already know what's up with that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we need to make sure that we're teaching as many of our children as possible about who they are. You know, I'm talking about the brother that's standing out in the, on the corner of the store with the Bible in his hand and the blunt, you know what I'm saying, in one hand, teaching him too. You know, but if he doesn't want to hear it, then you just have to find, you know, go to the next person. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to encounter those that say, oh, here you go talking this stuff. You know, because some of them, they don't want to hear it. You know, it's too much for them. You know what I'm saying? This is that's all they know is getting up in the morning and going to the store and getting that bottle and getting the roll up that blunt. You know, that's all he knows to deal with what he's dealing with, and he don't even know what he's trying to deal with. You know, all he knows is that he knows about the injustices in the system and stuff. He knows about what's happening to him as a young black man, what could possibly happen to him, you know. So he's just in survival mode. But he needs tools. And I think that we need to start right there because, you know, they're the ones that's going to have to take up the mantle after us. And that's real talk. That's real talk. Anything else is just... I'm not going to say that it's wasting time, but a lot of older people, they're pretty much set in their ways, you know. So yeah. You can get to the youth, you know, because the youth is going to take, if a child is going to, because, you know, I noticed that there's some kids that I wind up having conversations with, and they know more than you think that they know. I mean, you just literally say, wow, this kid is woke. You know what I mean? So, and they're teaching, and they're teaching their parents. You see what I'm saying?
You better
they're teaching their parents. They're teaching their sisters. They're teaching. So, you know,
yes.
If we start
yes.
there, you know, and we can, I think we can get this thing together.
I absolutely agree. You know I agree on that. Because, like you said, I opened my academy, still open. Now, I overstand that my people are not ready because they were crying, upset, and they ran their children back into these indoctrination centers, right?
Yeah.
But
yep.
once we are healed, we have, it's over 50 million of us in America. So we
mm-hmm.
have so many babies we got to educate. So the Vanguard's Online Academy is always open. But my people have to have that mindset that they're not afraid because the first thing they say when they come to the academy is, are you registered? I said, registered with who? So
right.
They say, you know, registered with the government. I said, I don't need the government to tell me how to educate my child because the government
exactly.
is only telling me how to imprison and enslave my child. I don't need them to tell me that. So I absolutely agree. Every child that we come in contact with, we have to tell them the truth. Now, I can say one thing. Like me and my son, we don't get along, true enough. You know what I'm saying? But he's not dumb to the fact of what's going on in this world. He's not a coon.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
I've already broken their first cycle because I'm breaking the cycle of that indoctrination in my children's mind. So I know
mm-hmm.
that it's a process. It's that process. That process. And that work is so damn hard. So I want you to talk about that process because, like I said, you started early because your father was in your life and your father taught you. Now, just imagine being 40, still in that damn church. I've been raised, Malcolm X is a criminal. The Black Panthers are criminals. Martin Luther King, he's the truth. That black, and then it's a black Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, and I have no disrespect to any Christians or whatever, your religious people, but I don't care what anybody says because, see, I'm riding in truth. When you say God, the first thing you think of is that gay-ass white boy that they have portrayed all of our lives. Then you say, oh, my Jesus is black. You see what I'm saying? So
uh-huh.
I don't want to hurt it. You see what I'm saying? So I was 40 when I got out of the church, right? So just imagine being 40. So you've been in church all this time. The church doesn't teach you to love yourself. The church don't even think you to think for yourself.
That's why I say I had to break this cycle early with my children. And like you, like I said, you are absolutely correct. We must start with our children. And I'm going to say it. It is a waste of time with some of these fools. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
It's a waste
of
time.
Yeah, with some of the older people, they're set in their ways, you know. And they will not even, it's like trying to move a ton of steel, I guess. I've talked to several of them, and it's like speaking a foreign language. I mean, we're so fragmented as a people, I get that. But I keep finding myself, and I'm no fan of Jesse Jackson, but I keep finding myself saying Keep Hope Alive. I just keep saying it. I don't know. I guess you got to have some type of hope, I guess. But I just think that when I remember reading a book one time, and the lady said her and her daughter were in a bookstore, and her daughter picked this book up about Harriet Tubman. And she said she turned around and told her, oh, no. She literally didn't want her to read about Harriet Tubman. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I've heard them say, a lot of black people, I've heard them say, I didn't want their kids to know about the things that white people have done to us as a people because it would make them hate them. And I'm saying to myself, you're setting them up. You just set your child up. You just set your child up for
death.
To deal with the devil.
Death.
Because you can't.
I'm
there's
just
no
say
way
it.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way possible. There's nobody else on this earth that no other group of people that I know of that would keep their child from learning the truth about the matters that is going to affect them in life like that. I mean, you got to be totally colonized to sit here and say,
no,
you
got to be.
You don't want,
that's why I said this. You have to be sick. We are sick. You see what I'm saying? We are sick. Because
sick
I'm going to tell you
sick
the
from
reason.
The colonization.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you this, the main reason that my school is at the standstill that it is now, right, is because they wanted a white girl to join, right? So my academy is family-oriented. I call all the children, call the mamas, aunties, sis, this, that, and the other. So where in the fuck, where in the hell I'm going to call a white girl sis? So
that's where we muck up at all the time, though.
You need white girl join.
She did
so,
what?
My thing, I said they got mad at me because I didn't want to let the white girl join with her mixed child. You see what I'm saying? I understand we have mixed children and they have parents that are of other ethnicities, but I choose in my life not to deal with those ethnicities because I don't like them. And I'm not going to be forced to deal with them. That's why I vibrate and move the way that I do, right? Because we have to create a peace in our lives. We have to create a peace. Now, I want you to talk about this, our ancestors. I saw a post today, right? And the guy was like, oh, so we feeding our ancestors now. What kind of foolishness is this? Now, I honor my ancestors every day. I haven't built an altar or anything like that yet, but I know that we have to put food on the altar, different things like that. And I'm going to do that. I just haven't healed to that spot in my life yet, right? But what are your thoughts on honoring our ancestors and making sure that we bring our lives back to Sankofa? Go ahead.
I think we need to. I think we should. I mean, a lot of the times, I've seen, brothers and sisters do it and they don't even know what they're doing because it's in the DNA. So, when they pour this drink out for my homies, you know what I'm saying? You basically doing it, but you just don't even know the history of it. you know, you pouring libations to the ancestors. So I think it's vital and it's important to us as an African ancestry people to do that, you know. And we saw that in the movie Black Panther, and where the brother would to speak with the ancestor to get direction. So I think that that's important, you know, to stay connected, you know. Let them speak and guide you, you know, lead you and guide you, you know. And it's, you know, with all the things that's been taken away from us, you know, not name, language, culture, family, it's enough to, we need the Nat Turner spirit, you know. And some people think sometimes when you say stuff like that, there are some of us that think that's over the top. But if we could have that Harriet Tubman spirit, Nat Turner spirit, Frederick Douglass spirit, I could keep, you know, go on and on and on. We'd be much better off for it because, yeah, we just say all day we need to get it together. Yes, we are traumatized, but, you know, look, here's the thing. I'm not saying, I told this brother the other day, I said, this is the focus. This is what we got to do. This is the focus that I have. The village. We're always talking about the village, right? Well, what we need to be doing now is building the village. We need to be making the connections with those that's on the same page, okay? We have no, look, Michael Garvey already said that I'm not interested in taking all black people back with me. He said, because some of them aren't meant to come and not fit to come, okay? So it's like we got to deal with the ones that's on the same page and build that village. Anything outside of that village, we don't need it. You know, you're just not going to be able to bring them all. We have to realize that it's just not going to happen like that. So the village that we build with those of us that are like-minded, this is what we have to do. You know, time is moving fast every day. I just feel like I just woke up. And it's like, what, 6, 7 o'clock? So we got to make these moves. We got to make these moves. We can't wait on the ones that still sleep.
I say. I totally, and I'm telling you, I totally agree with you. That's why like I say, I'm the Secretary of the Republic of New Africa. I keep preaching this, and I keep telling our people, the Republic of New Africa, please go to the website. Go to check out what is going on. The Republic of New Africa is our black nation. You feel me? I understand we have a different organizations and everything like that, but until we ride as one black nation, we can't ride as Moors. We can't ride as Muslims. We can't ride as Christians.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said earlier, see, you know, it seems like we tend to forget what some of the our brothers and sisters said before us that left a couple of blueprints. You know, Malcolm X said, leave your religion at the door. We got to come together. We can't, all that stuff, look, if you're on the same page with me, as far as us, come on, let's go. You know, I don't have time for all this. We really don't have time for all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, I think that we could take some lessons from some that did it to get that upper hand over us. We can take some of the lessons. I don't have a problem with saying, oh yeah, she did it like this. Maybe I can try some of what she did. You know what I'm saying? It might work for me. You know, so, hey, you know, I just think we got to move swift, and the time is right now. The time is right now, you know, while we're in the age of Aquarius. The time is right now, you know, fussing and bickering over all this other stuff. You know, they just laughing at you, you know, because, you know, they put the distraction in the middle of the room, you know, and I'm not falling for it anymore.
Yes, I say. And like I said, We have to ride as one black nation. Take out the Republic of New Africa. That is our nation. That is our nation. Our nation, we have to support it and give it power. Because if we ride as one,
No, I said we have to. I totally agree with you.
Exactly, exactly. Like I said, if we ride as one, then our power will be more. And then I'm going to tell you like this. Black people acquire land as much as possible because land is power. Land is power.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
We have had many black townships, right? We have to connect with each other, all like-minded people. Like I said, I don't care who you are or what you're doing. If you're riding for our black children, that's our focus, our children. You can't tell
that's
me, oh, I love my children. Oh, I love this, my baby. And then you go and buy them all these Gucci and Jordans and all that shit. But you're not concerned about them being handed down chains of oppression. You don't love them. In order to love your child, you teach your child to love themselves.
That's right.
And your child is African. If your child doesn't love the African in them, you have not taught your child and you don't love your child. I'm sorry.
No,
it's
you
just
don't.
How I feel right now. That's just how I feel right now. And I want you
well,
to...
Well, how can you? How can you?
Yeah?
How can you?
I mean,
how
you
can you...
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, how can you? You know, it's like I feel like I have a right as an African-American mother to teach my kids, you know, like I told
and
my that, father.
Let me,
she can't
sis,
use...
let me see. Sis, I'm going to stop you right there. You're not African-American. You are African. Because ain't no damn country called African-America. You
African,
are African.
I'm saying what I'm saying. What
you
I yeah, what I meant to say.
I'm a prisoner of war in America.
Absolutely, my sister. Absolutely. What I meant to say was African in America, not African American.
Exactly.
I am African in America. Yeah. Excuse me for that.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But yeah. How can you, you know, how can you, you know, love your child if you're not a black child, if you're not going to teach them their history and their culture? I mean, come on, you know, and then you send them into the schools and to be further indoctrinated. You know, you haven't taught them anything. They don't have anything in that toolbox. I love to use that because it is the truth. No tools with which to deal with people in this system. None whatsoever. No preparation at all. It's just,
none whatsoever.
I put it like this. If you want to see all the ills of what's wrong in this country, you can see it in the school system. Because, I mean, that's where my part of the epiphany for me came at. I said, wow, this is it right here.
Yes, and then that's the thing. We don't even overstand the power of the indoctrination that they are doing.
Oh,
we don't
you know what it starts
understand.
With, don't you? You know what it starts
Go
with?
Ahead.
Every morning, I pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to this damn flag. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new caller. I'm going to unmute area code 940 if you want to speak. Introduce yourself. Thank you for joining the show and listening in today. Please join the conversation and let us know how you're feeling and introduce yourself. Area code 940. Go ahead.
Hello. How y'all doing today? My name is Charles.
Hello.
All right. How you doing, Brother Charles?
I'm doing pretty good. I would like to just bring one thing to the forefront. The essence of learning comes from family. So if you bring a child up with that understanding, and you fortify it through the years. You don't have to worry about the indoctrination. He knows who he is. She knows who she is. And she does not concern herself with the things of this poison in this country.
Absolutely.
That's the thing I learned from what they did in the military. They take you from one concept when you come in the door, and they let you know exactly what extreme they're going to take it to. If you take that perspective with your child and understand and put the importance on how important it is that you understand who you are and who you belong to and what your purpose is and what your value is, then there'll be no misunderstanding when there's false doctrines or false indoctrinations or ignorance come along. You won't have that problem. You'll comprehend completely. They'll comprehend completely what to do with that. They'll put the trash where the trash is, and they'll decipher what needs to be deciphered, things that they need to glean through to learn. They'll learn it. But it first has to start with the foundation. You're building a house when you build a child. So that foundation has to be solid. It has to be fortified with your actions.
Exactly. And I appreciate that. And like I said, we sing up here. Man, it is a trip because it's so many of our people. Like I said, the children are awake. Our children are smarter than we even think they are. But they think that these white people are their friends. So we have the parents. We telling them what's the truth, but then we have the parents on the other end that are still indoctrinating. But like I said, we still have to empower and teach every child who they are. They don't even understand that they asking. A baby one time told me, and I it just sticks in my mind always, I'm nothing but a slave. So I don't care nothing about, you know, doing, she was like, I don't care. She said, because I'm nothing but a slave. I said, baby, you're not just a slave. So we have to start with our children. And then, Brother Charles, I want to ask you, since you are here, like with the aspect that we were speaking about on healing, right? What are your thoughts on the healing aspect for our men? Because like I said, I have a lot of sisters that I deal with and I work with, and that I'm connecting with because I'm on my path of healing. And some of them have mates, right? But their mate is not focused on healing. So it's like a lot of turmoil in their houses right now. They're separating, breaking up, getting divorced. What are your thoughts on the healing aspect for men?
A lot of the purpose of a black man or African, the purpose of an African, what they've seen on TV or what someone outside is indoctrinated or downloaded in them, is a lot of confusion. If you understand that you're a union, then you would understand that that wife is not going to tell you anything to hurt you. And two minds are better than one. So it would make it easier if the understanding would come from, you know, I'll just say it like this. A lot of things are said and they're knowledgeable, but the understanding is lacking. If they understand the purpose of their mate, they understand the purpose of what they're building with their family, there wouldn't be a discrepancy or there wouldn't be a misunderstanding. He has to understand what the purpose of a wife is. He has to understand that. It's not just a physical aspect. It's a mental and a spiritual aspect of it. For us to fully heal, it has to be a complete thing. You can't ride a bike, if two people are on a bike and one's going one direction and one going the other. So that, my concept is that it's gonna cause confusion to the children. Is what I would see, or what I suggest. Yeah. A lot of African men, not all African men, but a lot of African men have been indoctrinated in this America, and being told or showed or demonstrated or insert, oh, you don't have to listen. Well, what is the purpose of you having a wife? What is the purpose of you having her if you don't have an ear for her or an eye for her, or better yet, a time?
Yes.
That's just my perspective of it.
That I totally agree with you, because, like you said, they have been indoctrinated, because the white man does not love his wife. He does not love his mate. He's gay. I'm just going to be honest about it. So, us, you know, with our black men trying to be more like them. And then I'm going to ask you this, brother. I saw this clip the other day. And the lady was talking about how most of our black men, they crave the white woman because they hate themselves so much, right? And they want to create like we have so many mixed children. This lady said on her live, I'm just going to say, her name is Tanya TKO. I be listening to her on the show, right, on her podcast and everything.
Oh, she's been in California
for 3 years and did not see a black child. She only saw mixed children. So my mindset is, okay, if you go and make a mixed child, do you really love yourself? So I totally agree with you on that. But in the aspect of trying to get back to loving ourselves, how are we going to do that? Because most of our men are indoctrinated. Because if she lived in California for 3 years and did not see a pure-blooded black child in that entire time, that's a problem.
If I may impart this, listening and looking at the indoctrination in this system, the first thing it does is it attacks your identity, and it crushes your self-esteem. It attacks your identity. If I knew at a young age about us creating the things that I know now that we created, I would laugh at some of the white people that said I would be nothing. But this whole system was designed to crush the truth. Everywhere you look in this country, we have our footprint, our blood, our sweat, and our strength. But it's not identified. It's not identified in books. It's not identified in TV. It's not identified. So when someone sees the concept of beauty on TV, or on dolls, or in cartoons, or in movies, they see the concept of beauty something else. That's going to set a precedent. That's going to mess with the self-esteem. Sweet 16, ain't nothing melanated on there. Maybe now, but years ago it wasn't.
The only one melanated person I saw on there was Tatiana Taylor. And you are so correct. And you said it attacks your identity and crushes your what?
It attacks your identity and crushes your self-esteem, because you question yourself. Any one of us that have our profession and we're efficient and effective and technically and tactically sound in our career, no one can attack that. They can attack it because you know it. They can attack it because you don't know. You don't know your identity. Your self-esteem is already questioned. What is an African? Oh, they were enslaved. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. They were stolen.
I appreciate your input. Go ahead, sis, and piggyback off of that. I know you want to say something. Go ahead. I appreciate that, Brother Tom. That was very powerful. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just I enjoy listening to the brother, and I just want to say that to him with what he was talking about, you know, when you ask him the question about, you know, the black man and, you know, the white woman like that, I feel like he said earlier about, you know, teaching the children, you give them the foundation, and that's true because that's what I had. My daddy gave me the foundation. So whatever they came at me with, it just bounced off. You know what I'm saying? It just bounced off. So it's like, I feel like if you teach your son like I did mine, you know, I gave him the foundation, you know, I told him about that woman, you know what I'm saying? So he ain't never had a desire for that woman, all right? So when he started his job and he ran into one and she wanted to give him hell and he was performing his job to the best of his ability, everybody giving him kudos, you know what I'm saying? But her, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was telling me, they said that she either wanted him to sleep with her or hit her so that he could be tangled up in the law, the web of the law, or, you know, either way he would have been tangled up in the law, you know, if he, because she would have had a reason or some kind of reason to get him if he had slept with her or hit her or whatever. So he saw that I never lied to him. I prepared him to know what to look for, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I feel like that's why I keep going back to that teaching the children, like the brother just said, the foundation. If you give them the foundation, then, you know, they're probably most likely doomed to fall into this type of stuff anyway. You know what I'm saying? You don't show them the beauty of themselves. You don't educate them on themselves. So it just all goes back to what he said about the foundation, you know. So they won't have a desire. They won't have a desire for that. He don't have my son. I see it in not just my son, but others who have been taught the foundation. They don't have no desire for that. You know what I'm saying? Because I meet brothers right now that have went that way, and they'll tell me, well, I never was taught such and such and such. See, I'm not, you know, we can't go around hiding these truths from our children. You know what I'm saying? What is wrong with some of my people? I mean, I'm just done with it. I'm like, of all the things that we have been, it's like you can't even, I can't even describe the horrors. I call it horrors, macabre. And you mean to tell me that you want to hide? I mean, I just, Mary, I can't. I'm just. Let me just listen. I can't.
I understand, sis. I totally understand. I totally understand. And Brother Charles, while I have you here, I want to ask you about this, too. With all the things that have been going on, with all the attacks on us and different things, you know how the baby was killed, the pig came out, shot her the head, the knife. Ever since this pig was convicted, the date he was convicted, 4 black people were murdered by pigs. Ever since the day that pig was convicted for George Floyd, we have had murders and everything. So I want to ask your opinion on our statuses as, you know, blacks right now in our conditioning, right? What we're going through right now, right? My thing is, I think we should separate. I don't care what nobody say. Separation is not a solution. Separation is not a solution. So I want to get your thoughts on that, Brother Charles, and then see if I'm going to let you come in.
Okay. First and foremost, they're playing their position. Because if you look through the archives of history, they have always been and are synonymous with being heinous. No matter where you put them, no matter where you put them, death, destruction, and mayhem follows. So they're playing their position. Knowledge of this has happened in history. So I'm not surprised when I see these things happen. The tricks of the things that are going on today are the same tricks that they've been pulling for years. Pulling for years. Separation, if there's no challenge, then there's no, there would be no hunger or desire to cultivate your mind to deal with it. There has to be a breeding point. There has to come to a breeding point. A lot of these atrocities, in the midst of them, yes, it's heinous, but in the midst of it, there's a breeding point. People are looking for truth and answers. If they would only look to their archives, the separation will start mentally. Cool separation does nothing, but a mental separation and a financial separation. You can't hurt them by separating physically. It doesn't make a difference. Financially separate yourself from them is something totally different. To hurt a person, if you want to hurt them, when you see who they are, if you hurt them, if you hurt them physically, they can heal. But if you hurt them financially, in the midst of all of these things, I don't look for answers from them. I don't look for sympathy because they are who they are. And the archives of my history has told me that is who they are. I don't have an expectation of a Bengal tiger to hug and kiss on me. That's not the nature of behavior pattern of him. Now, to negate that, I have to educate and elevate my mind to deal with the element of this because it's going to exist no matter where I go.
I say, I totally agree, brother. I totally agree. And when I speak of separation, I'm speaking of total separation because I had my baby was here and her friend came over and you know, they were like, well, Miss Tammy, you preaching hate. No, baby, I'm not preaching hate because I'm telling you the nature of this thing. White people are nasty. White people are what they are. I don't deal with them and I don't have to deal with them. She said, yes, you do have to. I said, I don't have to deal with white people. That's why I navigate my life because I don't want to deal with them. So when I speak of separation, I am talking about financial separation, total mental separation, because I don't even think about them. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. When Kobe Bryant died, right, I put out a post. I said, condolences to Kobe and his daughter. So people come hitting the post, come out, what about the rest of the people on the plane? I said, well, they white or black? They were white. I said, well, I don't focus on them. So condolences to Kobe and his daughter. And the only reason his daughter is because that's his baby. Because I didn't care nothing about the other white people on the plane because that's a benefit to my race. I'm sorry. But I always speak the truth. Like I said, I had to go through a process of healing because being indoctrinated in that church is a fucking hell. You do not love yourself. You do not understand who you are. And so many of our babies do not. So, like I said, this has been a fabulous show. I love you all for tuning in. I apologize again for the technical difficulties. Brother Charles, I would like for you to tell us where you're from and if you are part of any organizations or you have a business and different things that you want us to support, please give us that information and inbox me. My name is Melly Queen on Facebook. That's Melly Queen, M-E-L-L-I-E-Q-U-E-E-N on Facebook. and Melly Queen 2022 on Instagram. So that's how I can be contacted. And if you want to support the platform, please donate to Vanguards Academy. It's Vanguards Academy, Academy. I want to thank y'all for joining us. So, Brother Charles, tell us where you're from and, you know, tell us a little about yourself, okay?
Right now I'm residing in Texas, and I'm a 24-year veteran of the military service. I have a brother that is in New York, and I am 100% grateful for how this brother began to change and transition and challenge my mind and show me things. And now it's instant when I step into a place, I begin to read and see what the element of certain things are. So I'm grateful for him.
Okay, and what's the brother's name? Is it Brother Enter Dawala or General Kareem?
His name is MJ Nkosi.
Oh, okay, okay. Like I said, do you have any, do you want to, speak to people about any business or anything that you're operating right now, anything that you want them to support? Because like I said, we want to get connected and make sure that our people, and since you get your information ready for your podcast and your contact information as well, I want everybody to stay connected. That's why I'm writing down your information right now, Brother Charles, your telephone number, where you from. So like I said, if you have any endeavors that you want to present to the people or tell the people, go ahead. Please do that because I want us to get connected. And please, please call back to the show, okay, because I do this every Friday, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and I love what we have been discussing today. We have to keep these conversations on because our people are not being informed correctly, and they are being played with, and we have to keep bringing them the truth. So go ahead, Brother Charles, and then I want you to go ahead, Sister Trish, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first and foremost, I'm grateful for the platform, and of course, my brother did introduce me. I will be tuning in consistently, and I will keep you posted on other endeavors and things that I'm about to get into. I mean, I have some things that are in the infant state right now, so I can't really speak on it until it comes to fruition.
Understandable. Like I said, inbox me at Melly Queen so that I can get your email, and I'll send you a link to the show every day, and we can keep in contact, and we can, and like I said, when you get everything up and running, you can be a guest on the show, come in, tell us what's going on so that we can support you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Most definitely. Okay, go ahead, Sister Trish.
Well, I can say that if anyone would like to, they can find me at TPM Shell. That's my YouTube channel for my show that I started back up on there. It's called Black Living Room Talk, and then I also do it on Loyal African Minds. I have it on Loyal African Minds as well, Black Living Room Talk. So, you know, come and listen. I'm reading a book called it's called Dataless, and it's dealing with the African and racist America, Christianity, and I've been reading the book, and a lot of people have been responding to me because, I mean, it's not an attractive book. See, most people won't pick up the book because it wasn't attractive, but I picked it up and I started leafing through it, and I'm like, OMG, you know, you talk about, you know, the saying that they have, if you don't want a black person to know anything, you put it in a book. The nuggets that are in there I would like for you, if you, you know, you would like to stop by there, listen to it. Also, I'm reading The Race is Mine by Raphael S. Ezekiel. It's a story about a so-called Jew. He went into Detroit, Michigan, and interviewed the KKK deep into the suburbs. Oh man, it's a must read, a must hear as well. So it's called it's TPM Shell, and it's Black Living Room Talk.
All right. Mm-hmm. And it's
go ahead. TMSHELLE.
Okay, in Black Living Room Talk. And you know I know mm-hmm. Loyal African Minds because his brother Jaleel, and mm-hmm. I listen to him all the time. So, yeah, you know, I absolutely know that. I want you to send me a screenshot of those two books so that I can get see what they are and see if I can get a copy of them and start reading, because, like, right now we're still reading different books. right now, and it just, like, slipped my mind. But like I said, I appreciate you all being on here today. Like I said, please, please support these brothers and sisters. We have to connect, family. I don't care what nobody says. If we don't start riding this one black nation, we are not going to accomplish anything for our children. I love my baby, and I want to give her the nation that she needs and has to have in order to survive. I love you all. Please join us next week. Thank you all for joining us. I apologize for the technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. Brother Blizzy, do you want to say something before we leave?
I'm grateful for this platform, and I'm grateful that my brother is continuing to bring things into scope.
Absolutely. Thank you. I love you all. All power to the people. Like I said, this is the Truth and Power Corner. We love y'all, man. I don't see nothing else. All I see is my people. I love my people. And I want to see us do better for our babies because they deserve that. Y'all have a great night. Thank you all for joining us tonight. All power to the people. Black power.
All power to the people.
I've been walking with my face turned to back of my head, just in case I have to run. Do what I can, when I can, while I can, for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's why I wanna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer?
Gotta keep on
keeping on, I can feel it in my bones.
And I know, ooh, what's around the bend might be hard. Faces I'm alone, and I just might failed, but Lord knows I tried. Sure, stars fill up the sky.